Hi there, welcome along to this week's Racing Postcast. It's Monday the 10th of May. I'm Maddie Pleil and I'm joined again by Mark Boylan and Tom Collins. Dynamic duo on this show, it seems, of late. And we also have the old returning Paul Binfield, a podcast favourite.
Less of Paddy the Power. Old, please, Maddie. Less of the old.
I didn't mean old as in age-wise. I meant as in you've long been
That's
associated
what it
with
sounded
this podcast.
Like, Maddie.
I'll be careful. Anyway, what's coming up on today's show? We're going to look back and assess some of the classic trials at Chester, Lingfield and Leopardstown. It's a crucial time with the classics in mind. Also, some of our best older horses return to the track this week, so we're going to figure out where they're going to feature going forward this season. And of course, it's York's Dante meeting getting underway on Wednesday, as well as the Lockinge on Saturday. So more Group 1 action fast approaching. But first, the big story of yesterday and indeed today that everyone's talking about is about Bob Baffert and Medina Spirit, his Kentucky Derby winner, testing positive. And, you know, this has come after the race. Bob has come out and stood by the fact that he is innocent, that this horse has never been administered betamethasone, it's called. But TC, given you're our expert on all things stateside racing, tell us about this, because this is not the first incident of Baffert testing, one of his horses testing positive.
No, exactly. So Medina Spirit, who won the Kentucky Derby, found to have betamethasone in his system. It's basically an anti-inflammatory drug. It affects gene transcription. It's a legal substance in racing, but it just can't be admitted to a horse within 14 days of a race. And in Kentucky, it has to be noted, there's not an individual regulatory board in the US. Different regulations apply to different states. In Kentucky, you're only allowed up to 10 picograms of betamethasone in the horse's system to be legal. Medina Spirit had 21 picograms, therefore over double the limit, and reached a clear stage when this drug basically acts as a performance enhancing drug. It's fair to say at this point, Bob Baffert is obviously innocent until proven guilty. And some people on social media have been saying that risking his legacy, career, his name for the use of this Class C substance is rather odd and or stupid. And this exact case cannot be categorized in the same stratosphere as the likes of Jason Service and Jorge Navarro, for example, who were the big talking story last year. I believe the trial's still ongoing with those two. But the drugs are basically completely different. This is Class C compared to modified Class A's. However, the fact that Bob Baffert denies any knowledge, of betamethasone being administered, just to me seems pretty absurd and also somewhat embarrassing to the sport. Baffert has now had 29 drug accusations in his career, a long career, I have to say. Four of those have come in the last 6 months alone. Plenty in big races where the testing is seemingly more thorough as well. We've had Charlatan, one of Bob Baffert's top three-year-olds, Manith, Opportunity, Gamin, who everyone should know over here. She finished third in the Kentucky Oaks. She also tested positive for betamethasone after the Kentucky Oaks. And also the infamous case of Justify after the Santa Anita Derby before he went on to win a Triple Crown. And now Medina Spirit. He's trained over 3,100 winners in his career. He's earned over $320 million in prize money, winning most trained in the Kentucky Derby at the moment. Obviously, if Medina Spirit gets disqualified, which will a decision I think will be made today or in the coming days, then he becomes a joint winning most trainer. He's a Hall of Fame trainer, dominated the West Coast. But in his press conference yesterday, he said, and I quote, "There's a problem somewhere, but it's not Bob Baffert." The arrogance and the denial for a guy who's had 29 accusations makes the sport look silly. It's muddied the biggest race in the world for viewers. It had 15 million viewers in the US alone, plus people over here watching the Kentucky Derby all over the world. We just want integrity and transparency. It throws the Triple Crown into question, whether Medina Spirit's going to run in the Preakness, Concert Tour as well. Look, it's a bad day for US racing, but hopefully Pimlico will make the right decision. Stronach Group, who own Pimlico, make the right decision and not enable Bob Baffert to run his two runners in the Preakness this Saturday.
Yeah, it's something that you and I have been talking about all morning with regards to my column anyway. I've been trying to do a bit of research on it. And Bob Buffett, he has overturned some of these things in the past due to cross-contamination. There was one where one of his grooms was taking some sort of cough treatment and that was then passed on to the horse. So where does the responsibility lie here? Is it with him for, you know, keeping his barn under really, really close watch, or is it the authorities, you know, not doing their work correctly?
I mean, it's a bit of both. Bob Baffert has to know. When you sign up to become a trainer, right, you read all the instructions about what is allowed, what is not allowed. He knows that you're not allowed more than 10 picograms of betamethasone, for example. Now, all 29 drug accusations haven't just been betamethasone. There's been other different drugs. So that's worth pointing out. But Gamine was another case of betamethasone. And that, I believe, was that the case where the groom was said to be taking some sort of tablet for COVID. Anyway, I think that Bob Baffert should take most of the responsibility here. However, there's also a case to be made that the regulations in the US are very lax, especially in California, I have to say, where Bob Baffert trains. For example, Gamine, who has come under question twice for drug accusations, Bob Baffert's leading filly. When last time out, Bob Baffert, last time this accusation came about with Gamine, Bob Baffert was fined $1,500. That was it, after appeal. And also wasn't disqualified, re-awarded the race. The fines and the punishment just is too lax. We need integrity in this sport. We need it to be cleaner. He's not the only one, it has to be pointed out. There are a few names that are being branded about at the moment and for the last few years. So we need stronger regulations, and hopefully this will be sorted out because we want a clean sport.
We all agree with that. What do you see finally just going forward happening in the next couple of days? Obviously, Pimlico, they'll make a decision whether Medina Spirit runs or not in the Preakness. But beyond that, can you see this happening again? What's going to change to stop it happening again?
Well, yeah, tighter regulations. It's probably going to happen again. I don't know if it'll be Baffert or others. I believe Baffert should get a ban for this. Obviously, I should say again, he's innocent until proven guilty. But this is his 29th accusation. I believe rather than a small little fine that won't do anything for a trainer that's earned 320 plus million in his career from horses racing alone, a little mere fine is nothing. We need stronger action. The Preakness on Saturday is going to be a real weird event because most of the horses, the top four, if Medina Spirit cannot run, the top four in the Kentucky Derby aren't racing. The favourite is likely to be Midnight Bourbon, who finished miles back in the Kentucky Derby. So that race is up for grabs. I believe it'll probably happen again with other trainers over there. But we need to stamp out these people that are ruining the game. Give them bans, give them stronger punishments so that it doesn't happen again. That's the only way it's going to work.
Very, very punchy analysis there from TC on the Bob Baffert and Medina Spirit case. We will follow that in the coming weeks, of course, and let you know what happens there. Now, we're going to take a review now with Chester first off. Mark, welcome to the show. Who impressed you most at Chester in the Classic Trials?
To get my blood count down a little bit after hearing all that, it's just totally unsatisfactory. It's just, it's not good enough, you know. And sorry, now I know I'm going off topic here, but like, how can you have trainers like Graham Motion who are rarely found? You know, there is a systematic error in the whole regulation of American racing. We don't know who's wearing the trousers, you know. And across the board, like, it has been an issue, you know, where you need unity in regulations. But this is like, we're into, like, I obviously fully understand here that we're into innocent until proven guilty. But, you know, we can all make a mistake, but 29 or 30 times, like, it doesn't sit well with me. And, you know, I've always been a big fan of American racing, but it just dents your confidence in what you're seeing. But anyway, look, sorry, Chester was there was lots of clues there, in fairness. I think probably the older horses were the ones that caught my eye more than the three-year-olds. I thought a couple of the trials, maybe there was other stronger ones elsewhere. But no, in particular, no, Armory was the one that got me excited. I thought the way he went about his business and showed a lot of speed. I was really, really impressed by how he got the job done. I think, you know, he could be a sort of horse that fills into a Highland Reel type of mould, even though he is quicker than Highland Reel. I think he could drop back to a mile even. But he was particularly the one now all week that got me excited. Albeit it wasn't an outstanding race, I really think that he can prove himself to be one of the best 10 furlong horses in the world this year.
Wow, glowing endorsement then for Armoury. That was the Huxley Stakes that he won. Maybe he'll be going globe-trotting as Aidan O'Brien tried to do with him last year. What about you, Binners? Who were you most impressed by at Chester?
Well, good afternoon, Maddie. It's I spotted you on Luck on Sunday yesterday. It's great that you're talking to mere mortals like me still. But anyway, Chester, yeah, I agree with Mark. The older horses, Japan and Armoury, were impressive. We put both of them into the Prince of Wales Stakes. I think Armoury has to improve a bit. He's brilliant when he steps out of Group 1 company. He can't be beaten in Group 2s and Group 3s. But when it comes to the highest level, he always runs good races. Runner-up in the Cox Plate, third in the Irish Champion Stakes for Magical. And surely one day one of those top class races will fall his way. As far as the trials go, I'd say Zayadar probably was the one that impressed me and Paddy most. She was runner up in the Cheshire Oaks, as you know, but was kept in by Le Joconde for some distance, approaching and passing the 2 furlong pole and beaten less than a length. We cut her to the same price as the winner, Dubai Fountain. We went 14-1 from 20, both after the race. But punters came in for Zayadar, and she's now into 12-1. So if presumably they run at Epsom, she must go there with quite a good chance.
Thanks very much, Binners. Now, TC, you were a big Youth Spirit fan before his win. What chance do you give him at Epsom?
I think he's going to play a part. I just don't think he's good enough to win. I was happy to see him win the Chester Vasa. Glad he got it done for Andrew Balding. He came on and off the bridle coming around the bend, but he picked up nicely in the straight. I just don't think it was really the strongest race. And that could be safe for much of the trials, couldn't it? El Drama in the D Stakes didn't really look a strong race. Only those who raced prominently featured in the finish. I thought Fox's Tails, who finished fifth, was definitely the horse to take out of that race in the long term. He just hated the track, was never going from the outset, but stayed on nicely. It's just been a pretty barren year, hasn't it, for top class 3-year-olds until Bolshoi Ballet came out on Sunday. But the British contingent don't look very strong. I also, like the lads, was impressed with Armoury the most.
Okay, and you mentioned not a very strong British contingent, but I thought Third Realm was pretty good at Lingfield on Saturday. You don't think he compares to Bolshoi Ballet then?
I thought he was good. I thought the ride was better, though, by David Egan. He won that race coming with an enterprising move down the side. It was much like Frankie on Falcon 8 in the Chester Cup, I thought. He made an enterprising move at the right time to get the horse into the race, and he just began rolling quicker than the others. And Adeyar, who finished second, he has the scope to develop into a real St. Ledger player or a good player over longer trips. But he just doesn't have the same acceleration as Third Realm. And the ride to just get Third Realm onto the lead probably won him the race. Look, I think he's an exciting horse going forward. But no, I don't think he's in the same league as Bolshoi Ballet at this stage.
You mentioned Third Realm's pace there. Obviously, the Dam trained at Across the Car Double on Saturday, also having Kate Byron winning the 6 furlong conditions race at Haydock. So that's probably where he gets some of his speed from. We'll talk about the Derrinstown after we take a pause in a while. But what else caught your eye on Saturday, guys? Mark, I'll let you tell us what you thought of Third Realm first, though.
Yeah, good performance. Like, I mean, the overall form that you're bringing to the table, you're linking in the Sandown Classic trial, I suppose, with Adeyar. And, you know, I wasn't bowled over with that as a trial, to be quite honest. And then you have Yabir, who's obviously, you know, on the premises with him again, and he turns up at Chester and doesn't exactly frank it. I'm not too sure about the overall level of form behind, but I do think this is a horse going places. As you mentioned, gorgeous pedigree. And he looks the sort of horse now that'll improve through the year. I can see him running well in the Derby, but I can see one maybe having a little bit more star quality. If we are lacking a star 3-year-old this year, he could well stay up to the mark. But I just think that, you know, Bolshoi Ballet, or even if we see the real high definition get there with a good preparation over the next few weeks, I think he might just fall a little bit short. But he's a very, very smart horse.
Yeah, we'll find out very soon whether high definition will go for the Dante or not this week at York. Ben, just refresh us with your Derby market.
Well, we're going to come on to Bolshoi Ballet, Maddie, but he heads the market at 7-4 now. Then we've got High Definition and Mohar Feff, both at 5-1, 8 Van Gogh and 10-1 Third Round. I thought TC summed up Third Round particularly well, very eloquently. Much better than I could, but I think he's right. You know, Bolshoi Ballet's a fifth of the price of third round, but that's not to downgrade third round. He's still, you know, fifth best in the Derby, so he's a very exciting 3-year-old, and who knows what's going to happen on the unique course that is Epsom.
Spinners, I want to ask you, have you got parrots in your house or something?
Yeah, I started hearing the parrot just after we started. I know you asked if somebody had a vacuum cleaner on beforehand. It is my parrot, and if it's too off-putting, I'll go upstairs, but then the dog might start barking, so I'm in a bit of a rocky place at the moment, really.
Working from home woes, eh? Let's talk about Ascot on Saturday, TC. We had the Victoria Cup, which was won by River Nymph, and also an excellent performance from Alba Flora. What do you have to say about those performances?
Yeah, River Nymph, I liked him before the race. He clearly relished the return to softer ground and Ascot. I thought he was given a good ride by Adam Kirby as well down the near side. I was confident that beforehand, when I wrote the preview for the Victoria Cup, that the race was going to be won by a horse that was drawn high. And I thought I was going to be made to look like an absolute fool when they were coming down the middle of the track, the first four. But luckily, River Nymph got there. And then move on to Alba Flora. Now, talking about good riders with Adam Kirby, we should mention Ross Orion. Now, I know I mention him every single time I'm on the podcast. I'm a huge fan. And I know that any jockey probably would have won an Alba Flora. She was miles the best. But hopefully this filly will take Rossa right to the top. He needs that Group 1 level horse that can really propel him on the big stage during prime time on ITV Racing to everyone at home that maybe doesn't watch racing day in, day out. So I'm just hopeful that Alba Flora can continue her progression and take Rossa right to the top and make him a player in the future for champion jockey, because I think he's definitely got all the talent and the ability to do so.
Agreed. I know we're big fans of Rossa. I think we're all pretty big fans of Bolshoi Ballet by the sounds of it. Let's take a pause and find out more after this.
Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
On to reviewing Sunday's action now then. And at Leopardstown, there was a really informative card. And the aforementioned Bolshoi Ballet broke through what had been a little bit of a disappointing trials period. I thought he was supreme in the Derrinstown mark, showed an excellent turn of foot and then stayed on really strongly to win by 6 lengths. He just looks a really uncomplicated horse, and that's exactly what you need for Epsom.
Yeah, love the way he went about it. And the difference that decent ground has made to him this year. Like, even the way he moves, he stretches out very nicely, as if good ground is what he wants. And you look back at his form last year, he was running 3 times in October, said, you know, a stiff task going to France for his last start on heavy ground at the end of the year. And he didn't shirk it. He still ran well behind Europe. You know, this is a proper hardy horse who is just has every kind of sign that he's going to be one of the best 3-year-olds around this year. And that's not a, you know, no state secret saying that, but he really, really impressed me here. Now, it was a little bit messy in behind. There were different runners there who didn't get the clearest of runs. You know, not unlucky. There was no unlucky horse that would have beat Bolshoi Ballet. Thought Southern Lights was staying on pretty nicely. You know, got cut short of a run when he was trying to make a bit of headway on the inner. He could be an Irish Derby type, potentially. Max Winnie was a bit disappointing. Potentially he needs softer ground to be seen at his best. You know, obviously it was testing. He's not a mudlark by any means, but it was testing when he won at Doncaster. You know, I just thought this was the most obvious indication of a Derby winner we've seen now all spring. And if for whatever reason, we hope that High Definition we'll get there to the Dante and then on to the Derby, and he still is the one to beat for me in the Derby. But this fella, if there's any chinks in High Definition's armour, I think he'll find them out. He's really, really rock solid.
I have him. I know he's obviously run and we haven't seen High Definition yet. That was due to a low blood count. We haven't seen Salamarak either, who we might see also this week, but I'd have this guy ahead of them both. I know it's easy to say that after he's just run, but I really was impressed. I think he's rock solid. TC, do you think he's value though at the top of the market, or would you be looking elsewhere?
I don't think 7-4 is value in the Derby. I mean, even this far advance, or even on the day, you know, I don't think 7-4 is ever really value in the Derby, given what anything can happen at Epsom with the camber. You can run into trouble very easily. There are also a few Aidan O'Brien trained stablemates in the betting. Mark mentioned High Definition, Wordsworth, etc. There are plenty of others in there as well that have a fighting chance. So I don't think there's any value at this stage. If you got on Bolshoi Ballet before he ran on Sunday, then you're probably like trying to count your money in advance, because that's all you do when you see a big shorten in the market. But I don't think he's got this all sewn up and won, you know, like the market kind of suggests. He's the deserving market leader at this stage, but there are others in there that could easily spoil the party.
Okay, and talking of pedigrees, Joan of Arc won the Irish 1000 Guineas Trial. She's from an excellent family. The Damn You're So Thrilling has produced so many wonderful performers. Mark, again, she looks cut from the same cloth as you'd expect. And, you know, she looks straight to head to that Irish 1000 Guineas now with an excellent chance.
Yeah, I've small anti-post on her in terms of the Oaks. But I think she gave herself every chance to stay in an Oaks trip. But I would be a little bit concerned that, you know, maybe, you know, what the definition of insanity is, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. You know, pedigree-wise, these horses from this family, an amazing family. Even, you know, hailing back to, you know, Giant's Causeway as a sister to the Dam. But to me, I just have a concern about maybe just a mile and a half out and out. You know, you had Vatican City, who ran really well to a point in the Derby last year. Admittedly, it was a funny Derby. Didn't seem to stay. Marvellous, the same. She tried the Oaks trip, didn't seem to stay. But I think she's very, very smart now, and she seems to be taking her racing well. I think if you're looking for a stick to beat her, and you're saying to yourself, well, what happened at Leopardstown on her previous start in the 1000 Guineas Trial, the Prairie Belle, you know, that was a funny race. You know, you've ended up with an 82-1 winner. The pace was just, it just seemed a little bit of a mess to me, to be honest with you, because it was quite different to the other trials that were on the day at Leopardstown. I'd just be willing to forgive her for that. And I think otherwise, you look at it and you think she's got beat by a relatively smart filly on debut. She wins the Curragh first time up on testing ground. She's much more better now on quicker ground as well at Leopardstown. I think she's very, very smart now. There's a group one to be run with one with her this year, possibly a few.
Okay, and what price Joan of Arc for the Irish 1000 Guineas spinners?
Yeah, apologies about the parrot, Maddie. I've tried covering the cage with some tea cloths, but she starts when I start talking. For the Oaks, we made Joan of Arc 10 from 20, but for the Coronation Stakes, we went 8 from 16 immediately after the race. That's proved too big. It looks like she'll probably go to Royal Ascot. She's now into 5-1. And one of Mark's colleagues in the Irish press room, Michael Graham of Irish Racing, I know he was very impressed with her. He said to me that the way she wound it up 2 furlongs out was a business. And I think she's a real smart filly, and it was a lovely performance.
Yeah, I think we're all a little bit in love with Joan of Arc, so can't wait to see how she does. Now, there was other group action on the day at Leopardstown, as well as some maidens, which were interesting. Mark, what have you got to tell us? Who caught your eye most from the undercard there?
Yeah, like I thought the Mediterranean was good in the last, obviously, you know, it's amazing the way these things go, because you would have swore, you know, that Aidan's three-year-olds weren't going fantastic. You know, the older horses ran well at Chester, but some of the trials, especially over in Britain, my God, there's been some disappointing runs from some of Aidan's three-year-old colts. And then he turns up here and you have the Mediterranean wins really nicely. King of the Castle, I thought, ran promisingly in the same race as well. You have Sir William Bruce turns up and he wins as well. And obviously Paul Shaibane. So it's a really, really funny one to get your head around. I tell you, there was one horse really a bit of an eye-catcher in the Amethyst Stakes. He was beaten as favourite, but I wouldn't give up on Ace Aussie by any means. I think a strongly run 7 furlongs is exactly what he needs. He 3-year-old running against older horses. And I thought this race was won by the jockey Colin Keane, an absolutely super ride on Maker of Kings. Got first run, really, really had the race in his pocket from a furlong and a half down. And Ace Aussie ran well, but I thought he just got a little bit tired inside the final furlong. I think if he came back to 7 for something like the Jersey Stakes, where they go nice and quick, I think he's got enough class to take him there. His previous run, he was a fast finish in 2nd to Poetic Flair. That obviously reads a whole pile better than it did on the day itself. So I wouldn't give up on Ace Aussie as one to take forward, potentially for the Jersey. I have no idea if that's the way Connections are thinking. I'm sure they have options at home. But I'd be quite interested in him if he lined up there.
Okay, now we're looking forward to the Dante meeting. High Definition, Sir Lamorack, and so many others, as I say, key players there. Gets underway on Wednesday. And we also have the likes of the Sprint. We have lots of good handicaps to get stuck into. So I'm going to get the lads' best bets for that, as well as the Lockinge featuring Palace Pier on Saturday. So let's take a pause now, and we'll do that after this interlude.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18plusbegambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast, and we're going to look ahead now. We've looked back. Hopefully there'll be some more classic clues on show this week. The Musidora and the Dante for the three-year-old colts and fillies surely going to play a big part in altering those classic markets. But what's your best bet from the whole of the Dante Festival, TC, do you think? Which horse have you got your eye on overall?
Well, at the time of recording this, I've only actually looked at Wednesday's card because it's been very, very busy morning, as you can imagine. So I've got two on Wednesday at York that interest me. The best bet will probably be Mystery Angel in the Musidora. Now, the favourite is Tiona for Roger Verin. There's only eight runners declared at this stage. Tiona for Roger Verin. There's been a big gamble on her for the Oaks, actually. I believe she's 5-1 for the Oaks, but I'm sure Binners can update us on that. I thought she had plenty to find on her maiden effort at Newcastle. Plus, she's never run on turf. So I want to take her on. I thought Mystery Angel about 7-2, 4-1 was a good bet for George Bowie. She was really impressive the other day at Newmarket when she won a listed event. She beat a horse called Sea Carrots that day in the Pretty Polly. I have high aspirations for Sea Carrots. I think she's a really exciting filly for William Haggis. I'm sure that she's going to go on to good things when she's on a track with less undulations, fewer undulations than Newmarket. She seemed all at sea. But Mystery Angel really battled on well over the mile 2 furlongs that day. The extra half furlong won't be a problem. She's got form on heavy ground last year. She finished second in the Montrose behind Zayada, who, you know, ran a nice race at Chester earlier in the week. She also finished third to Lone Eagle at Newmarket on the Rolly Mullen in Group 3 as well over a mile 2. So I don't think the conditions, which look like they're going to go soft, I know it's good at the moment, but the next 8 to 10 days at York is just outright rain. No other weather forecast. So look for your soft ground performers. Mystery Angel in the Musidora is the number one. And also like Ilarab in the Jorvik Handicap, the first race on Wednesday. William Haggis targets this meeting with his best handicappers. This four-year-old rated 102, won his last 5 starts, including at this track last time out in October. He's coming off a layoff, so that's your one concern. But he looks a group performer in a handicap to me.
Okay, that's the 140 at York on Wednesday, the Jorvik Handicap Ilarab, and then the Musidora at 3:10 on that same card. Mark, we've spoken a lot about the different colts and fillies in the picture. TC there going for Mystery Angel to stamp her class on the Musidora Stakes. What do you think of the action at York this week?
That's some race, isn't it? The Musidora could be very, very good. My Napa, though, you could say it would come in the Clipper Logistics Stakes, the Art Power. I think he just makes sense. There's a few of these arrive with questions to answer. I was a little bit disappointed with Oxted, to be quite honest, at Newmarket. I thought he should have got the job done. Now, maybe he could be a little bit rusty, but he had previously run earlier in the year as well. I think now this race just falls nicely for Art Power. He's a previous winner at York. Like what he was doing last year as a 3-year-old against some proper hard knocking sprinters. You know, sometimes it takes these horses even a season to get up to that sort of standard and be able to hold their own. Now, there's obviously exceptions, very, very high class, but I think this fella is very, very good now. He's obviously, there is a bit of depth to it in the sense of Summer Gand has that, you know, he mightn't have the same star quality, but he has that real race fit, hard edge to him, whereas Art Power doesn't. But he started off, albeit in lower company, in good form at Newcastle and Ascot last year. I think he'd be able to get him sharp enough, first him up. And I think he'll take a fair bit of beating in that. So I will go with him on Wednesday in the 2:40, Art Power.
Thanks very much, Mark. I'm quite interested in Malatham in that same race, the Jersey Stakes winner from last year. Binners, what do you make of York?
I'm a bit like TC. I'm a bit of a TC clone today. But in the Musidora, I'd certainly be taking on this favourite, Tiona. She is 5-1 for the Oaks, by the way. I'd be taking her on for the fact she hasn't raced on turf yet, so we don't know about that, and she's 5-4. But I'll go for a different alternative. I'm going for Sir Michael Stout's Noon Star. I remember thinking it's unusual that I send one of your reporters a quote after she won at Weatherby, but she won readily by 2.5 lengths up there, sent a quote to David Carr. I was pretty taken by her, so I'm going to go for her at 3-1 in the Musidora. And then in the race that Mark was talking about, the Duke of York Stakes at 2:40, Yeah, I can see why he's going for Art Power. He seems better to me over six furlongs than five. But I'm going to go for a different one. I think Brando is a big each-way price at 16-1. I'm unsure about the favourite like Mark is at 3-1. I think Brando, 16-1 each way. He hasn't won for a few outings, but he's run consistently well. And that wasn't too bad an effort behind Kate Byron, who seems to be an improving horse for Roger Varian.
I must admit, I thought he was quite a big price. Binners, based on that effort, just 4 days after that effort, it will be at Haydock. But he does tend to improve as he gets a run, and he's often better in slightly bigger, more competitive fields. So it'd be interesting to see how Brando gets on. Now, let's get an updated market for the Al Shakab Lock-In Stakes at Newbury on Saturday. Palace Pier, no doubt, a very strong favourite.
Yes, Maddie. We're all looking forward to seeing him again. He was so impressive on his seasonal reappearance, 6-4 on. Then we go Maya Oberon at 6-1 together with Lope E. Fernandez. Top rank at 8. Then we've got 10 Safe Voyage, 12 Century Dream, who would be my each way selection looking at the weather forecast this week. And then it's 20-1 Barvo's.
Fantastic. Thanks very much. I mean, TC, looking at this race from a punting perspective, it's very difficult to see beyond Palace Pier, who looked as good as ever on his return to action at Sandown. He really seems to stay the mile very well. But of course, he was beaten in the QE2 last season by the Revenant.
Yeah, he has one blemish to his name, 6 out of 7, and that Revenant defeat at Champions Day at Ascot. He pulled off a shoe that day. He seemed to be coming there with a winning run and just faded away close home. And that, the shoe was given as the valid excuse. And I think that is valid. You know, I reckon he could easily be coming here 7-7. And on his reappearance run, you have to say he's a clear standout in this field. To me, it doesn't look a very good lockage. In the last 10 years, you've needed to run to an RPR of around 1-2-2, 1-2-3 to win. That is obviously if you take out the anomaly that was Franco in 2012. He ran to an RPR of 1-3-9, which was utterly ridiculous, really. But Palace Pier has already proven he's got an official rating of 1-2-5. So if he just runs up to his mark, he's probably unbeatable in this field. And if you look at the second, third favourite in this race, fourth favourite as well, Maya Oberon, top rank, they're both rated 1-1-3. So they need to take a big leap forward to even get near Palace Pier, who's rated £12 superior. So it should just be a case of the favourite wins, not really a punting race, and unless you're an each-way backer, more of a race just to watch Palace Pier and admire him.
Indeed, Lady Beaufort, she was a winner on her return. She's also looking likely to turn up. Binners mentioned Century Dream. Lord Glitters, the horse who did so well out in Dubai over the winter, is also in there. But Lope Fernandez, my over on top rank, I mean, those three have all got ones by their names and they're progressing at least, Mark, but it probably won't be enough to get to the favourite.
Yeah, favourite is top class. I'll probably muddy the waters a little bit more for you, though. I actually think Safe Voyage could be an each-way shout at the prices. I'm a really, really big fan of this horse. You know, he's really, really solid throughout the season. But his ground-wise, you know, I had him kind of nailed down when he was winning on testing ground at Haydock previously. I thought, oh, that's his bag. Then he goes and he wins on really, really quick ground last year at the likes of Leopardstown. Okay, he didn't happen for him last year at the Breeders' Cup. But he's running in the foray behind One Master as well. Like, that's on testing ground. He's just so versatile. You can really, really depend on him to show up well. He's rarely, rarely out of the frame. I just think he's an each-way price in a race where, you know, we are going to have a little bit of rain this week by the looks of it. That ground could change. And it might find out the odd one or two, or not even find him out possibly, but just maybe take a little bit off what could be their optimum performance. This fella just handles whatever is thrown at him. He's really, really rock solid. Look, there's no real improve in him, or there's no real, you know, upside to him at the age of 8, but you just know you're going to get a real solid run for your money. And actually, in the same colours, can I just mention Chester this week? I got such a kick out of El Astronaute, what he did. He is really, really exciting to watch. Like, again, there are more talented horses in training who have more impressive CVs, but him winning for what was it, the 14th time or whatever, racing against much younger horses that were placed in behind him, I got a real kick out of that. He's a horse who seems to really love his racing. But just a value play, maybe Safe Voyage, but I'll probably come down a little bit more strongly on whatever I'm going to do closer to the time.
Yeah, I actually spoke to Sean Quinn, son and assistant to John, trainer of Safe Voyage before El Astronauti, and it was fantastic to talk about that old horse with him, and he did indicate that Safe Voyage would be going towards the Lockinge. I think their two flying fillies, Liberty Beach and Keep Busy, are probably both going to go to the Temple Stakes. So they've got a really nice crop of horses, the Quins, and best of luck for the season ahead to them. That's all we have time for on today's show. Hopefully we gave you some pointers towards the future classics and indeed towards the racing this week. As usual, please rate, review and subscribe. Bruce will be back on Friday and we'll see you again very soon. Bye-bye.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.